We've been studying a word a week, many of us have, through the course of this year, and we're rounding up that study. In the last few weeks, we've been studying words that have to do with our salvation. That's been the theme. And today, the word is really the basis of our salvation. It's the word crucify, the word crucify. I read a statement by John Kessler. The cross is the most recognizable symbol of the Christian faith. We preach about it, sing about it, and even wear it as an item of jewelry. I thought about that this morning, that statement, particularly about wearing the cross as an item of jewelry. And I thought about it in the time of Jesus in the first century, about in his earthly ministry, and when he was actually crucified. And I'm thinking that if someone saw someone wearing a cross as a piece of jewelry, they'd be repulsed by that. You see, the cross was an instrument of death. Forgive me, but it would be the equivalent of wearing an electric chair, an emblem of an electric chair around your neck. That's the way it would be viewed in the first century. Again, because the cross was a means of execution. Crucifixion refers to an agonizing, humiliating, torturous death. It was designed to create the most painful, prolonged public execution possible. And it was intended as a punishment for capital crimes, but also as a deterrent for others who would witness these crucifixions as a warning. Don't do these crimes. It was extremely painful. There's a word that has arisen in our language, excruciating, which literally means out of the cross. And it was with that backdrop that word excruciating came to have that meaning. And in that horrible picture in our minds, there's two major thoughts that I want us to consider this morning. The first one is this. Is that Christ was crucified for us. That's the basis of our salvation. That's the hope of our salvation. That's the means of our salvation. That's the message of the cross. That's the center of our faith. Paul said, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the core of the gospel message, the core of the good news, that Jesus died for us. He was crucified. He endured that for you and for me. And looking back over the last few weeks, including the word for this day, we've looked at different images of atonement. Different words that are used to describe what Jesus did for us on the cross. And all of them are filled with meaning and should be especially meaningful to us. There's that word justification, and that word should cause us to think about a courtroom. And we've been declared guilty, but because of Jesus, we can be counted as or declared righteous. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can stand justified. Though we are guilty of sin, we can stand justified in God's sight. Because of the redemption which is in Him. Redemption. That could take us out into the marketplace. Or it could take us to the slave block where here would a slave be sold for money. And redemption has the idea of a ransom price that is paid so that we can be set free from the bondage of sin. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So from the courtroom to the marketplace, we could consider a broken relationship. Perhaps in the home or with a friend. And we can see the word reconciliation being used in Scripture. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Actually, we should probably think about a war setting. with two opposing forces. And that better describes us in our sin. We're enemies with God, but through Christ, we can be reconciled. We can become one with Him again. Then there's the word propitiation. There's that separation because of sin. There's a just God whose wrath is given against sin, and whose wrath would be upon us if it were not for Jesus being our propitiation. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as the propitiation for our sins. Jesus took upon Himself the punishment for our sin. He satisfied the wrath of God. He endured the punishment for our sin. You see, the atonement of Christ is not one-dimensional. Instead, it's God's work on the cross as a beautiful tapestry of redemption that can be pictured in these different ways. But it's all, when we have to put them all together, but only after studying each of them thoroughly to understand, or to have even a glimpse of understanding of what Jesus did for us when He was crucified on the cross. You see, when we look at the cross, we should see several things. We see the hideousness of sin clarified for us. That's how horrible sin is. But we also see the wrath of God satisfied on the cross of Christ as He took our sins upon Himself. But at the same time, we see the love of God being magnified as though He was the offended one, yet He paid the price for our offenses so that we could have forgiveness. But here's something else I want us to consider this morning. That on that same cross of Christ, we see our response exemplified. When we see Jesus hanging on the cross for our sins, we are seeing what is entailed in us living for Him. Because not only do we understand through Scripture that Jesus was crucified for us, we understand this truth as well, that we must be crucified with Christ. So many of us have sung a song, Galatians 2:20, set to music. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And the way I memorized that verse was by singing that song. But I want us to think about seriously this morning, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Again, the crucifixion is a horrible thought. It's a means of execution, and it was designed to be painful and a slow death as a punishment for capital crimes, but also as a deterrent for those who would consider committing those crimes. But folks, if the message of the cross is at the center of the Christian faith, it's the life of the cross, John Kessler says, that is at the heart of Christian discipleship. I hope we have an understanding of what it means for Jesus to die for us. But do we have an understanding of what it means to be crucified with Christ? It's at the heart of discipleship. So what is the life of the cross? What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? That's what Jesus said, Luke 9:23. Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Josephus was a Jewish historian, and he describes a large number of crucifixions that took place in Judea in the first century. And I want to bring that to your attention because when those people heard Jesus say those words, if you would come after me, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me? What would come to their minds? It'd be those crucifixions. What do you mean? Take up my cross and follow you. Look at Jesus' words and you'll see that it involves a decision. It involves a decision. If any man would come after me, and there's a decision that must be made in order for that to happen. And we're called throughout Scripture to make that decision. We've got to decide between serving two masters. We can't serve two. We've got to choose which one we're going to serve. We must make the decision about being cold or hot in the service of God. The rich young ruler had to decide between his great possessions and treasures in heaven. We've got to make that same decision. The chief rulers had to decide between the praise of men and the praise of God, John chapter 12. We've got to decide which is going to be more important to us, the praise of men or the praise of God. In every case, Jesus demands a deliberate decision. And he challenges us to ponder the price of discipleship, to count the cost. But he says, if you're going to follow me, it's only going to be because you decide to do it. So taking up your cross is going to be a decision. It's going to include a denial. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. And those words don't sound good in our culture because we want to glorify self. We want to magnify self. We want to focus on self. But Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. It's not about self-esteem. It's not having a healthy self-image. It's not about self-actualization. It's about denying yourself. It's about getting yourself out of the way and thinking only about God, about serving Him and serving others. It includes a denial, and it includes devotion. Look at the last few words of that verse, Luke 9:23. He must take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow me. That's a way of life. Jesus demands to be chosen above all else and above all others as a way of life. You got to follow me. Continue to follow me. But I want us to see it involves a death. When we think of the cross, we need to think of death. Crosses were not ornaments. They were tools of death. In the Roman world, the cross was an instrument of torture and execution. It was a symbol of shame. And what Jesus is saying, when you take up your cross and follow me, he's saying there needs to be a death. We must die to self. We must die to self. It's not that we need to actualize ourselves. We need to crucify ourselves. We need to die to ourselves, so that we can live for Him. You see, for the disciple, this death is more than an event. It becomes a way of life. I think about Paul's statement, 1 Corinthians 15:31. He says, I die daily. I die daily. Look at Galatians 2:20 with me. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. Paul is saying, I died to sin. Here's a commentary on what that means to be crucified with Christ. I want to read to you Romans 6:1-11. Paul, writing to Christians, says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And here's the application. Likewise, you also, he says to Christians, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? It means to die to sin and to live for God. It means to die to the world. Galatians 6:14, Paul says, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I have died to the world. I think T.O. Chisholm wrote lyrics that help us appreciate that statement in the song, A New Creature. Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet 'tis not I, but Christ liveth in me. Dead to the world. Garrett Best said it well in our writings this week, our devotional readings. Dying with Christ entails living a crucified life. I've been crucified with Christ. It's in the present tense. And what that means is it's a completed action with continuing effects. I've been crucified with Christ, and that means I've got to continue to live a crucified life. I've got to continue to declare daily, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to self, and I'm alive to God to live for His purposes. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And think about the one who wrote that by inspiration. And isn't Paul saying, it's not about me anymore? It's all about Jesus. For to me to live is Christ, he wrote, Philippians 1:21. And to die is gain. It is Christ, Paul is saying, who's given me life. He's given me a new purpose, a new goal, a new vigor, a new everything. It's all about Jesus. The problem with this is, in the words of Martin Luther, the old man dies hard. The old man dies hard. We don't want to die. We don't want to forfeit control. We don't want to give up our rights. We don't want to watch what we say, what we do, what we think, how we live. We don't want to vacate the throne. We don't want anyone else calling the shots. We don't want to give up or give out or give in. But Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you've got to die to yourself. Paul died to himself. I like the words of Leonard Ravenhill. Paul had no reputation, so he had nothing to fight about. Paul had no possessions, so he had nothing to worry about. He had no rights, so he had nothing to defend. He was already broken, so no one could break him. He was dead, so no one could kill him. He had lost everything, so no one could defraud him. He had nothing, but he needed nothing. Because Christ, the all in all, was everything to him, for him, in him, and through him. It's not I who live, but Christ lives in me, Paul says. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Paul is saying his faith in Jesus is what guided his every step. I live by faith in the Son of God. And the very ending of that verse, who loved me and gave himself for me. He personalized it. Don't you love it? Paul took it personally. He could have said us. He intended it for all of us. But he said me. Paul, the one who had thought it was the will of God to persecute Christians. Paul, the one who, as Saul, was going to Damascus, to a foreign city, to find any who were of the way, Christians, and bring them back bound to Jerusalem and to be tried. And if the vote was to condemn them to death, he might even hold the coats of those who were throwing the stones, as he did with Stephen. But it's the same one who said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you and I need to personalize that. As we sang together, he took the fall and thought of me above all. What was Jesus thinking about when he died on the cross? When he went through that horrible death, he was thinking of me. He was thinking of you. A young man approached an older Christian with this question: what does it mean, as far as this life is concerned, to be crucified with Christ? The older Christian replied, it means three things. A man on a cross is facing only one direction. Secondly, he's not going back. And thirdly, he has no further plans of his own. In light of these truths, are you living a crucified life? Why die to self? Why die to sin? Why die to the world? Here's your motivation. Because he loved me, and he gave himself for me. If it's your desire to be crucified with Christ, to die to self, we do that as we turn from sin and repentance, as we confess the name of Jesus, our Savior, as we're baptized into Christ, we're buried with him. The old man is crucified. We're raised to walk in newness of life. Then we continue to live that crucified life by declaring every day, I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to self. For to me to live is Christ. And it means that when we get off track, that we turn back to him. And we begin living that crucified life again. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.